This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Happy hump day. Have no place to go. You and you and you. It's dark. Well, it's still dark at this hour. We're probably a month away from it not being dark at this hour.
It's getting later and later.
March 12th, I believe, is the beginning of daylight savings time.
Oh, Jiminy Crickets, Dave, you know a lot about this.
That's what I hear. It's a rumor.
At 6:13, welcome to Wednesday, and this is the Steve Cochran Show. For those of you scoring at home, it's show number 841. It's February 15th. Everybody have a nice Valentine's Day? Mary, did you leave your house, Vanderbilt?
We watched Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, my God. That's your Valentine's Day?
Oh, who cares? We've been married 31 years.
What a depressing movie.
It was really good, though. I really liked it.
No, it's a great movie, but I felt like somebody punched me in the face after I watched it.
Well, yeah, I needed a lot of Kleenex.
I was depressed for 3 days after that movie.
Really?
I woke up depressed. I went to bed depressed.
I knew what to expect, though. I mean, I knew it was going to be depressing. Yeah, and I didn't know all of it.
Spoiler alert. Not a laugh riot.
Dude, no.
Horrendous.
But the acting was phenomenal. That was super good.
Yeah, no, it's a great performances, and it's a great story, and it's really the last movie you should watch on Valentine's
Day. Okay. And we had leftovers for dinner.
Romantic. Wow.
That is the picturesque romantic. Hey,
Thank you.
I don't feel so bad anymore. I was at the I worked out last night. I thought, oh, I'm a big dork on Valentine's Day working out. About 5 minutes later, the gym's packed.
Oh, yeah.
It's no good.
Everybody's working out?
Yeah, everybody's working out.
Well, that's because they want to eat a lot of food later.
Is it all angry people?
No. It was like 7 o'clock, so it was all good.
Was your made-up friend Mr. T in the gym?
No, he's my real friend. He'll be on the show this year.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
He will.
Dave, what'd you do?
Let's see. I grilled some lobster tails, which is a Valentine's Day tradition.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
See, we did that on Sunday, so.
But wait, hold on a second. You haven't always been incredibly wealthy.
Wait a minute. These lobster tails were like $5 each.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah, it was 2 for $10 at Jewel. Yeah. Everybody did that. Yeah,
back in the old days, I wouldn't think you'd be grilling lobster tails. To impress your wife back, you know, when she wasn't your wife, when you were dating her.
I don't think we had a grill.
When did...
couldn't afford it.
Had the Walgreens hibachi, the $12 hibachi.
Yeah, exactly. Toaster oven.
Exactly. But they came out okay. They weren't super good, but they were all right.
Well, what did you do? You screwed them up?
No, they just weren't the tastiest. I think you get what, you know, you buy $5 lobster tails, sometimes that's what you get.
Steve, can I tell you a secret?
I was going to say, what did you do?
We're out of time.
Come on. You babysat again, didn't you?
No, we don't have time. Go ahead. But I will say this. Lobster, and I like lobster, but lobster is one of the great scams of all time. Is there anything you have to put more to get taste out of it on the food than lobster?
Crab legs. That's the only other thing where you have to cut. Oh, yeah, you got to cut.
Well, crab legs is a lot of work involved. Lobster, too, though. But my point is lobster, if you just ate lobster, you'd go, well, it's just not, there's nothing here. There's nothing going on here. You got to put butter on it and seasoning and other things.
That was my mistake.
You didn't put anything on it?
I put a little of,
rubbed a little kale on it.
Can't believe it's not butter.
Oh, dang.
And it takes about 30 seconds to eat because there's probably 3 bites, right?
And you need the right fork if you don't have a decent little picky fork. Doesn't work.
That's a technical term for those of you on the Food
Network. We didn't have one.
A decent little
picky
either. Fork.
We use regular fork. It wasn't good.
All right. Well, thanks for asking, Andrea, but we're out of time.
Steve, I really am curious as to what you did.
Well, there's no time. No. Yeah, there's no time. John DeCosta will be here for Undercover John later. National Security Advisor Michael Flynn's outside saying, will leak for food.
I thought you were going to say, need work. Holding a little paper cup.
Breakfast in a Blackhawk. Brian Campbell will be on, even though it's an off week. Soup wanted to be on today, so that's good. That's nice of him.
Well, he's got to promote his TV show.
Yeah, soup and a sandwich.
Which, do we have Campbell ratings for that yet? I hear it's just really taken off.
He needs more family members, I think, yeah. Steve Martin, short tickets later. I mentioned Undercover John. I have to mention it several times. John's actually in the room now. And a couple of cool things for your kids in the 7 o'clock hour and a preview of the budget address coming up later today. Hey, I'm telling you, cross your fingers. Cross your fingers because we could make 2 years without a budget. I think that's a record. I think that's a record. I don't think any other state's ever done that.
It's certainly an embarrassment.
We'll do the top six at six in a moment.
Steve Cochran Show presents the top six at six.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top six at six on 720 WGN.
Let's go in a reverse order of importance here. Of course, this may be an important story to some of you. It's not a squirrel. It's a watch squirrel. A burglary was stopped. Well, actually, they caught the bad guy. It wasn't until after the burglary. The police had a suspect. And one of the reasons they were able to identify the suspect was because he had scratches on his arms. Scratches from the family's pet squirrel. The squirrel attacked the burglar to try to keep him from burglaring the house. Who needs a watchdog when you have a watch squirrel?
Who keeps a squirrel as a pet?
The people that got burgled.
Yeah, well, I guess it was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess you're not going to criticize squirrel keepers anymore, are you?
I'm not really criticizing. I'm just puzzled.
I bet you don't even like the band The Squirrel Nut Zippers either, do you?
No, you were in that band.
Yes, I was. No, that's an actual band, The Squirrel Nut Zippers.
I know that.
Not one of mine.
Oh.
Yeah. Next. Might be time to take the keys away from Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford had an incident with a passenger plane that could have ended very, very badly. The FAA is investigating. Let's go live to Andrea now at O'Hare. What do we know?
Steve, what we know is that Harrison Ford was coming in for a landing. He actually landed on a taxiway, and he was supposed to land on a runway where there was an American Airlines plane sitting right below him. He actually flew right over that plane, landed on the taxiway, was not injured, but there was a lot of confusion as to where he was cleared to land and where he actually landed. Live at O'Hare, Andre Douglas, WGN News.
Right, and why are you at O'Hare?
Because I thought that would be a good place to do the stand-up since it's an air story. It's an air-related story.
It's the TV move. We have to go stand in front of something even if nothing's going on there.
Exactly.
Next! The National Hockey League, got to give them credit. National Hockey League, very violent sport. Grown men crashing into each other on skates at high speeds. And you know how much I love hockey. And the NHL is doing an initiative this weekend where they're reaching out. It's something called Hockey is for Everybody Night. And on Saturday night, the Hawks host the Oilers. And it's a big reach out, particularly to the LGBTQ community, where everybody's welcome and everybody ought to enjoy hockey. And there's events actually throughout the weekend that the Hawks are involved with. But you can go to the Blackhawks website to check it out. I think it's a cool thing.
It's a great idea.
You know, they'd recently named an ambassador for every team.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Andrew Shaw was chosen as Montreal's ambassador.
Well, he got smart after the incident last year.
Yeah,
very smart.
And he's kind of embraced the role, too, so which is nice.
Who's the Hawks ambassador, do we know?
I'm trying to remember now.
I'm sure that's on the website as well.
Yeah.
Go to the Blackhawks website. All off of NHL.com. And this, the people of Iowa, I distinctly remember a day where when Iowa voted for Trump in the primaries, back in the primaries. And this is after Trump said, how stupid are the people in Iowa? And I went, well, you get what you pay for. Well, the people of Iowa have now turned on Trump. Trump is now underwater in polling in Iowa.
You knew that would happen.
I didn't.
I had a feeling it would.
He's caught up. You folks listening in Iowa this morning, you've caught up with the rest of the country in your disdain for the most ridiculous rollout of any administration in recorded history in the White House. Which brings us to this. 37 mental health professionals have co-signed a letter that says they are deeply concerned about the mental health of President Trump. And they believe his disposition, his manner, his ability to handle things is highly questionable. This is different than the congressman who wanted to have a psychiatrist on staff at the White House 24/7, which you rightly said yesterday. Well, they ought to have that anyway, no matter who's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But 37 mental health professionals. This isn't 37 Democrats. This isn't 37 people looking to slam Trump. These are 37 mental health professionals who, just based on anecdotal evidence of seeing him, listening to him, watching how he acts, are deeply concerned about his ability to handle the job.
Yeah, they say he's emotionally unstable and that makes him incapable of serving safely.
And finally, this, your top six at six big story, is a multi-pronged effort. General Michael Flynn, as we told you yesterday, had resigned from his office as national security advisor. There's a couple of people, including a congressman from upstate New York who was a key member of the Trump transition team, who said, well, now we can move on. Not so fast, Sparky. Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky. And, I tweeted this out last night. There was a time when I thought Rand Paul was different. I thought Rand Paul was one of these guys who wouldn't just be about party, that he would be one of these guys that would be concerned about people and the greater good of people. Senator Rand Paul actually didn't hear his inside voice say, you know, you said that out loud, when he said out loud and on the record yesterday, it doesn't make any sense to keep investigating people, and we don't need to be investigating Michael Flynn. The last thing we need is excessive investigations, especially of Republicans, because how are we going to get anything done that way?
You know, I think that might be excessive. I think that looks like the president has handled the situation, and unless there's some kind of other evidence of malfeasance, this sounds like something that was internal White House politics, and looks like the president's handled it.
What? Just such a crock.
Are you kidding me? Okay, seriously? How many things are wrong with this?
Everything.
I'm sorry, but Hillary Clinton's emails kept her from becoming president, yet we're not going to investigate more possible conflicts of interest and contact with Russia, who meddled in our election.
Yeah, and Jason Chaffetz, who was one of the people who was tripping over himself to do another Benghazi investigation, and I said this yesterday, and I stand by it, I believe President Obama and Hillary Clinton, the State Department, the executive branch, I believe they all lied about Benghazi. But they're not president. They're not Secretary of State anymore. You got to change the past. All you can do is deal with the future. And of course you're going to investigate this. As the New York Times reported last night, it has been reported now by multiple sources, there was absolute contact between multiple people on the Trump campaign, including Donald Trump, and family members, with Russians of all levels, from security personnel to Russian business people throughout the campaign, something they swore over and over again didn't happen. The election was absolutely compromised. Whether or not it changed the outcome, there's no way to ever tell. But you think this is over? This is just beginning.
No. And how about Orrin Hatch? The reason he said that Michael Flynn shouldn't be investigated is because he was a hero to the country for so many
ridiculous.
Years.
Come on. Absolutely ridiculous. Oh. By the way, Michael Flynn could be compelled to testify under oath because Congress has subpoena powers, and you have to tell the truth under oath because we've seen many people go to jail for perjury to Congress.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say also, correct me if I'm wrong, but remember he said that the investigation never happened for the Rand Paul fish sticks.
Right. Mrs. Paul's son, Rand. That's your top six at six. Mary, you got an update on Lakeshore Drive?
Yes, they're reopening it. Should be totally reopened very shortly. A tow truck has already taken the car away, the scene of that earlier fatal shooting, drive-by shooting on Lakeshore Drive at Fullerton. So everything should be reopened shortly between Hollywood and Fullerton.
And, Andrea, do we know at this point if that was a gang thing spilled out of a neighborhood?
It was, yeah. It was. Police are saying that it was the shooter, the victim was a documented gang member.
Yep. Just outrageous. Back with more in a moment, which means your big story is next on 720 WGN. Hey, it's Steve Cochran. In business, time is money. In business, money is also money. No wonder nearly 1,000 businesses choose Comcast Business Internet over DSL from the phone company every single day. Not only is it up to 5 times faster, it's actually a better value when you go with the fastest plan. So take a minute out of your busy schedule and call Comcast Business. Switch to Comcast Business Internet. It's well worth your time and your money. Then add voice and TV for just $34.90 a month and ask about the 2-year price guarantee at 800-501-6000 or Comcast Business. Comcast.com. Comcast Business is built for business. Offer ends 3/26/17. Restrictions apply. Limited to one voice line and private view TV for new customers. 2-year contract required. Required Comcast Business Internet at an additional monthly charge. Equipment taxes and fees, including broadcast TV fee, are extra. Savings claim based on cost per megabits per second. Compares Comcast 100 megabits per second and 20 megabits per second DSL downloads. Comcast Business, built for business.
Forecast for today, only a high of 34 degrees. Temperatures should start to go back up, a high of 40 on Thursday.
Isn't 35 about normal this time of year?
Yeah, it should be. Could be into the 60s by Saturday.
No, well, it's good for the staff because they demand I wear shorts here because the people love to look at my legs.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
We have more than $11 billion in unpaid bills, a $130 billion unfunded pension liability, the worst credit rating in the nation. And we already have the fifth highest overall tax burden and one of the lowest rates of job creation of any state. We all have a moral obligation to work together to bring change. We together can return Illinois to a place of hope, opportunity, and prosperity.
The governor was invited on this morning, chose not to join us. We expect to have him on possibly as soon as tomorrow. The mayor has been invited on as well. We hope to have him on tomorrow as well, if not tomorrow, possibly on Friday. That related to more on gun violence and the meetings he had in Washington. But today for the governor is the budget address. As we continue to grind along and sputter and spurt, held together by duct tape and some legal paperwork that says you got to pay these 80 or maybe a little more than 80% of the bills. It's a bad system, and it's got to be fixed. Lawrence Simsall, president of the Civic Federation, independent nonpartisan government research organization that's over 120 years old, works on issues like property tax reform. You like paying property tax, so am I right about that, Andrew?
I hate paying property taxes.
Tax simplification, privatization, and more. And Lawrence joins us now to try to shed some light on what the governor may say today and can say today to give us some optimism. At least I hope we're going to be optimistic. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Are you optimistic?
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that after 19 months of trying to operate without a state budget, that our governor and our legislative leaders will reach consensus and allow the state to move forward. It's been incredibly expensive and reckless, this experiment to try to operate without a budget.
Listen, there's certainly ways Governor Rauner could have handled himself differently since he got into office. However, I'm regularly accused of taking a side on all of this, and I'll tell you why. Because he comes in with an agenda of 44 items. He's whittled it down to 4 at the most, more likely 2. And if you don't change the way this state has been operated, and if you don't try to enforce and instill some reform, nothing gets fixed. The people of the state spoke. They elected the governor. Mike Madigan's group is a fraction of the amount of people that elected Bruce Rauner. And Mike Madigan stands in the way, in my opinion, Mike Madigan stands in the way of this process continually because he refuses to negotiate on anything in any way, shape, or form that affects his power base. Is there any reason to be optimistic about that changing?
Well, Mike Madigan will continue to be speaker, but it's the constitutional responsibility of not just the governor to propose a balanced budget, but all the members of the General Assembly to enact a balanced budget. So the reason for optimism is because something that is not going to be able to continue, that we can't afford to continue, won't. So the state with the worst-rated credit in the United States can't continue to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in unnecessary penalties and prompt payment fines. We need the state to have a budget. 49 other states all operate without a budget. Governor Rauner didn't create this mess. Governor Rauner didn't create the fiscal mess of the pensions, but he is the governor who is responsible for proposing a balanced budget and needs to work with the legislature to enact one. I think it's incumbent on everyone to get that message to the governor and to the legislature. I think the governor wants a balanced budget. I think most of the members of the General Assembly want a balanced budget.
Right.
But it requires pain and difficult things. If it was easy, they would have done it a long time ago. But we're proposing that the Civic Federation, that to balance the budget, you need to both cut spending, stop wasting money on penalties and having $14 billion in unpaid bills, and unfortunately raise taxes, including the income tax to 5.25% and tax retirement income, as well as expand the sales tax base, something that the governor had proposed in his campaign, something that Mayor Emanuel had proposed in his campaign, expand the sales tax base to include services, and you could actually reduce the sales tax rate in Illinois.
Lear, what do you think about some of these Band-Aid solutions? I think they've been somewhat bipartisan. First, Leslie Munger stopping pay. Susana Mendoza said she would do the same thing. And then Lisa Madigan now saying that some of the social service agencies won't get paid. Do you think that'll eventually light a fire under them to do something?
Every other state that has a budget is motivated by the fear that you're not going to be able to pay the state employees, you're not going to be able to manage the prisons if you don't have a budget. Every other state is motivated that the schools aren't going to open if you don't have a budget. We remove those pressures by paying the state employees, by following court orders that say that some of the government gets funded, by basically letting the schools, elementary and secondary education, open, even though we're not funding higher education to the level that it needs. So we think that the pressure has to be that it's an all or nothing. We either get a budget and fully fund the government and stop spending more than we take in, or we wait until people are willing to compromise to get that budget. We can't, what has been going on for the last 19 months where half the government gets funded, some of the schools get money, some of the employees or all the employees get paid, isn't working.
What do you folks at the Civic Federation expect to hear the governor say today?
We hope and expect that the governor will live up to his constitutional obligation to present a balanced budget. He doesn't like the situation of being a governor without a budget, the only governor in the United States without a budget. You can't manage anything without a budget. So we expect that he will lay out what his priorities for balancing the budget. We hope he'll be specific in terms of what revenue as well as what expenditures will be made.
When the governor says, I'll be happy to present a balanced budget when I'm given the freedoms from the legislature to do what I have to do that. What's he referring to?
I don't know what he's referring to, because the Constitution is quite clear. He is responsible today to present a balanced budget to the best of his ability. He's not allowed to rely on revenue for the state budget that doesn't exist. The state law prohibits that. So he's supposed to provide basically a $32 billion spending plan for the state. The problem is we have been spending about $35 billion, or now almost $36 billion, without enough revenue to pay our bills.
So finding the additional $3 billion to get it to a zero-sum game means some pretty tough cuts.
It means some very tough cuts, and there has been no one who has come forward to say how you would cut what really needs to be about $5 billion, and because you have all these unpaid bills and you have these other obligations that are backing up the state budget. Basically, what has been those people who propose that the state could balance its budget without a tax increase ignore the reality that most of the tax increase has already been spent because we have all these unpaid bills, because of the court orders that say social services get funded, because we don't appropriate for health care for our employees and retirees, and that stands at almost $3 billion in unpaid bills that pay, in some cases, is more than 12% a year in penalty.
Best case scenario, we get a balanced budget. But if that doesn't happen, Larry, and you keep seeing these stopgap budgets passed every 6 months or every 8 months, whatever we're doing right now, what are the implications for Illinois residents? Could we go bankrupt?
There is no provision for bankruptcy protection for the states, but some of our local governments are dangerously close. The Chicago Public Schools, the city of Chicago, have non-investment grade from the rating houses. That basically means their junk bond status. What you will see is the state will, if it could continue to operate with what is now $14 billion in unpaid bills, could rise into the $20 to $30 billion in unpaid bills. And we don't know that the state will be able to continue. We don't know if vendors would continue to do business, because the projection is nothing is done in the next 5 to 6 years, the unpaid bills would rise to over $48 billion. That is unprecedented. There's the state's general operating budget right now is, as I said, closer to $35 billion. We can't. There's no precedent for a state being this reckless in running up its bills to such a great extent.
And if Governor Rauner proposes the budget and it continues to be stalled, what reason do I have to believe Mike Madigan will do anything?
Well, I think it's really incumbent on not just the leaders or on Mike Madigan. It's on each of the members of the General Assembly. The citizens have to make their voice heard to their individual legislators. Mike Madigan, as you have pointed out, isn't elected by the state. He's elected by his district. It's all of our state representatives who come together who choose the speaker. But I really believe that the fault is not in one individual. It's a comprehensive and failure by our state government. Each member of the General Assembly is responsible, if they don't like what the governor proposed, to offer some alternative, to offer something that would be truly balanced in their mind.
And if you don't like the way the speaker is running your party, to speak up and speak out.
Exactly.
I appreciate your time. If people want to take a look at what you do at the Civic Federation, what's the best way to do that? Is it the website?
On our website, civicfed.org. It's all there for free. It all shows all the evidence and shows all the details of how the state got into this situation and what the path forward for stabilization would be.
Thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate it. Lawrence Emsall, the president of the Civic Federation and an expert on those things. The budget addresses today. Are we carrying that on the web? I assume we're not carrying it live.
Yeah, WGNradio.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously news coverage beyond that to follow. And I also want to make sure that Mike Madigan knows he is invited on the show if he'd like to join us. This would be... All right, apparently we haven't heard if he's going to make it. We're checking with Kevin Powell, very sleepy Kevin Powell, live from the desert in Phoenix after this on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on! Haven't heard that in a while. It's always funny. 6:55 live to Arizona. Kevin Powell's just coming in from a night of clubbing. Hey, buddy, how are you?
This is Kevin. Yeah, I'm in the sort of entertainment district in Scottsdale, and I heard the constant thumping of club music surrounding my hotel. So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. It was kind of keeping me up last night.
It's weird because there are clubs in I like to thank John DeCoste for the club music. There are clubs in Scottsdale, but the majority of Scottsdale are high-end malls and spas. So, like, it's spa in one corner, high-end mall, spa in another corner, high-end mall.
Yeah, they have a cool sort of an old town Scottsdale area with some older historic stuff. But right where I am, there's about three or four clubs, and it didn't matter that it was a Tuesday night. They were getting after it last night.
What was the music like, John?
That's it. That's exactly it.
All right, so the Cubs return as World Series champions. I got to tell you something. I believe the Cubs flat missed it this winter. You know, you had an opportunity. I don't know if you heard. It's been 108 years. You had an opportunity to have the Cubs be the story every week, all over town, everywhere promotionally. And we went weeks without seeing anything. I mean, they paraded the trophy around pretty nicely. And I know that players are not as accessible as the guys in the NHL. And guys go home and stuff. But if you don't have the goodwill with the Cubs after a World Series win to have a couple of these guys come back and do appearances and just spread the love and let the fans enjoy it and extend the party out a little more. Because here's the thing. It starts all over now. You're the defending champ, but it's not the honeymoon period after you won. I just feel like they missed it.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, it did sort of feel like one long celebration, but I think that was mostly driven from the fan base, people reliving Game 7 and watching highlights of the World Series. The convention was a pretty cool event this year because it was just another massive stop on the celebration tour. But, I know they, like you said, they paraded the trophy around, but maybe they could have marketed that a little bit better because I don't think everybody exactly knew where it was going to be. When it did move around, but they're back to where they were last year, though. And I know it's only been one day, but I'm already starting to get the sense that, you know, last year, obviously, they were a team on a mission trying to snap the drought. And just talking to a few players yesterday and talking to Madden and Theo and Jed, that's they seem pretty laser focused to repeat.
I don't think there is any lack of enthusiasm for this team, whether or not there's been a little bit of a...
That's not what I said. I said team missed it.
Yeah, but...
It's not about fan enthusiasm. I don't know what they would have done. It's about fan exposure. Well, you know what they should have done? Go back to 2010. Watch what the Blackhawks did. What did the Blackhawks do for an entire offseason? You couldn't go anywhere without hearing about the Cup. I'm saying the marketing team at the Cubs missed it.
Well... I don't know. I don't know what they could have done. Because
I'll write your report.
Okay.
Double spaced.
Okay. Have that on my desk by noon. As far as what they're how they're going to handle spring training, Kev? So Joe Maddon's worried about whether he can bring mimes in again this year.
Yeah, well, he was asked about that, sort of the antics and his gimmicks, because there were mimes last year. Remember his 70s Vans and the tie-dye shirts.
What about the pajamas?
The pajamas during the season mostly. So
the wild animals, remember?
Yeah, they had actual cubby bears. They had karaoke. So he says he's got something up his sleeve for Saturday for the first full squad workout. So we'll see what he has planned there. But I think it's all part of Maddon's master plan to sort of keep the players on their toes, keep it fun. And, you know, I think they trust in their players. I mean, they talked about sort of easing them into things, and I think there's a trust between management, Maddon, and the players where they all understand the ultimate goal, and they realize they don't have to push themselves now, especially after a short off season where they can sort of ease their way back into things. And then they said they've kind of kicked it into high gear the last week or two leading into the season. So, I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of fun stuff for Maddon and the crew this spring again.
And, Kevin, I saw you put up a picture of Kyle Schwarber. He's 100% ready to go?
He is, and we'll probably get another report today about it. He was getting his knee checked one last time by doctors yesterday just to get cleared to start catching. Now, the plan is for him to play primarily outfield, but it would certainly give the Cubs a whole other dynamic and option if he could be that third catcher and get some reps behind home plate. But even if he was cleared yesterday by the doctor, they're really going to start him slowly in the process of catching again, maybe once or twice a week, and just sort of easing him into it, because obviously one of the best bats in baseball. I mean, you don't want to put him at risk and lose that power there. But, the plan is for him to mostly play left field, though.
Can we bring an extra knee or something? You know, backup knees? What are the trainers doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. He does have a giant left knee brace on that he says he'll wear. It could be the rest of his career, but he says it doesn't seem to be hampering him too much.
When will you preview the White Sox?
I'm hoping to get there Friday and or Saturday. Saturday we'll have full squad workouts, so we can get a good look at everybody. And
funnier answer would have been 2019. No, we're hoping for the best of the White Sox as well, obviously. So you're there all week. We'll check back in with you. Thanks for getting up, buddy.
You got it, Steve. I'll talk to you guys soon.
And the club music continues outside of Kevin's room. News next, and then we're going to talk about the effect of all of this stress and trouble on in the world, in your parents freaking out about Trump and the White House, on kids, coming up here in just a few minutes. News first, 720 WGN.
Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:14. We'll get traffic here in just a second, get you an update, and then continue with the discussion that I mentioned before the top of the hour. Psychiatrist Dr. Joanna Lindell is here from Advocate Children's Hospital about the stress kids are under with all the troubles in the world. Specific to this morning in the news of the day. And good morning, Doctor. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. Thanks
for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Specific to the news of the day, you know, kids see more social media than their parents do almost always.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on the age of the kid, obviously.
Sure.
But when your source of credibility are kids that maybe are a little older than you, or kids that don't necessarily have the facts,
mm-hmm.
they get bombarded with scarier stuff than maybe is even actually happening, though all this is plenty scary. So when you live in a world where the adults don't know what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and don't know what's coming next, what do you say to the kids?
Here's the thing. I think with kids in general, I mean, they look to parents, they look for adults, they look to the primary caregivers as being really the role models, you know, for them. I mean, essentially, they don't, I mean, and again, it depends on where they are developmentally and maturity-wise, but you need to be able to filter to them and be the main person to really help drive the message to them. Because again, they don't necessarily at this point in time, I mean, they may later, but they don't have the critical thinking skills necessary to really be able to process, you know, what exactly is fact and what is not. Kids are very literal. So they can take whatever they hear or see, especially on social media or, you know, even just the random comment you may say while you're watching television, and they will take it as fact. So I think the one important thing is with the parents especially can do with kids is to help, again, just keep it very, very calm for them. Just state to them the facts, keep things, keep things pretty simple. Try to avoid being very reactive, in a sense, with them.
Doctor, yes. We were talking off the air, too, mm-hmm. and I had said to Steve, even during the election, during the debates, mm-hmm. you want not young kids, but as they get to be 8, 9, 10, you want them to kind of watch and learn about mm-hmm. voting and getting involved and mm-hmm. history. But you see a lot of the back and forth, especially with this election, which was so nasty.
Right.
My sister shut it off.
Yeah.
My sister literally said, I don't want my kids exposed to this. And by the way, she was the majority, not the minority, of parents that said, I don't want my kids exposed to the process that elects the president. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves.
Very much.
And, and it is. It's disturbing. And I do think that a lot of the images that the kids are seeing, they're affected by it. It creates anxiety. It stresses them out. And this is, again, this is how... Right now, we're painting the world for them. And I do think as parents, we have that responsibility. We need to limit, though, what these kids are seeing, actually. I mean, granted, at this point, back when I was younger, all we had was really a textbook and then like one news channel, technically, and then our parents. But now, you open your phone and you turn on the TV or whatnot, and then... And these kids are just completely overstimulated with the amount of information that's out there.
Is it okay to say, I don't know what's going to happen?
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen to President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know, and we know, that our rules are lying's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be okay. And the United States will be okay. But it could be a rough ride. But we're going to go through it together, that kind of thing. Is that comforting?
Yes, exactly. Keep it, like I said, keep it basic, keep it simple with these kids.
But don't make false promises.
Don't make false promises, and don't paint a completely rosy picture, for them. But, be realistic. But here's the thing. Encourage them and just let them know, instill confidence that no matter what is going to happen, that they're going to be okay. The home is the fundamental place where, kids are supposed to feel safe and secure and comforted. So no matter what is going on in the world, technically, the home is essentially what is, what parents should help focus on.
Take a quick break, come back, talk a little more about this. Got a question, shoot it in by text at 312-981-7200. Mary with traffic troubles, what do we got?
Trouble spots. The travel time's going up quickly this morning. Inbound Kennedy is an hour and 5 minutes already from O'Hare, about 35 from the Edens Express, save 10. 32 outbound to the airport. Eisenhower is an hour 5 from 53, 48 from Mannheim. Stevenson's 46 from 294. The Ryan's 22. The inbound Edens 26 from Lake Cook. Outbound Bishop Ford, the ramp to Sibley reopen after an earlier accident there. Lakeshore Drive reopen after that earlier fatal shooting at Fullerton. In Willowbrook, an accident 59th and Western. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app, pre-approved by Acunet Mortgage. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vandeveld, WGN Traffic Central.
There's general consternation about the actions of General Michael Flynn, so who better to explain than General Wesley Clark?
Plus, we'll check in with Kevin Powell in the desert with the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Rokan with Anna DeVlantis. Chicago's conversation is on 720 WGN.
The Money Machine is back at Majestic Star Casino. Every Friday, you could be one of the many winners placed inside the Money Machine to grab as much cash as you can. How much cash can you grab in 25 seconds? We'll find out every Friday. Then, after filling your pockets with cash, satisfy your palate at the Majestic Chop House Bar, serving up specialty cocktails and bar food favorites every day. Only at Majestic Star Casino and Hotel. Visit MajesticStarCasino.com for details. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Our country was founded on some very important rights. At Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, we have one more to add to the list, the right to save. For 4 days only, during our President's Day sale, you'll get 30% off everything, plus special financing available. Friday through Monday only, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably.
4 days only, save 30% off everything. Shop early for best selection on these historic savings. Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Live life comfortably.
The tech show's on this month. You know, I was thinking of looking at home security systems.
Oh, cool. I'll go with you. We're looking for more home security ideas, too. That's why I called Budget Blinds.
Budget Blinds?
Look at this.
A remote for the blinds.
Yep, motorized.
Okay, well, that's beyond cool. I love it. But what does it have to do with home security?
Well, they also come with a timer. The blinds and drapes open themselves in the morning, close in the evening.
Oh, so it looks like somebody's home even when you're not.
Exactly, and I saved a bunch of money. Sally saved a bunch of money.
But you'll take the credit.
Yeah.
My brother, the tech genius.
Thanks, man.
Now, give me that remote.
Budget Blinds motorized window coverings are the ultimate in luxury, and during the Luxury Within Reach event, they're even more affordable. The more you buy, the more you save, with savings up to $2,000. Hurry and call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now before this offer ends, or go online to budgetblinds.com. Don't miss out. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises. Restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
Your doctor told you to use a CPAP machine for your sleep apnea. But did you know a dirty CPAP system can make you sick? Just one drop of water left inside your tubing or mask can become a breeding ground for mold and bacteria. Suddenly, your sleep solution turns into a nightmare. But now, SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes, and it's hands-free. To try it risk-free, call 1-800-700-5272.
SoClean is amazing. I had a cold I couldn't kick despite regularly washing the mask and antibacterial dish soap. 2 days after using SoClean, the cold was gone and hasn't returned.
SoClean destroys CPAP germs without any water, chemicals, or disassembly. Try it risk-free and see for yourself. Keep your doctor's orders, but ditch the germs. To get your risk-free 30-day trial while supplies last, call 1-800-700-5272. Hurry, that's 1-800-700-5272.
And be sure to check out the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Then watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best.
Talking to psychiatrist Dr. Joanna Lindell, Advocate Children's Hospital, about kids stressed out by all the anxiety in the world. I mean, you know, city kids worried about getting to school and getting home safe, you know, and you got all the normal fears that teenagers have and just trying to figure out how to grow up. You got all the toughness of middle school. And then we've never been more locked into politics in this country. And it really has turned into a reality show that's more like a Stephen King movie with all the terrible twists and turns that continue to happen. Mm-hmm. The lives piece of this is a big deal. There was a normalization of sex after the Monica Lewinsky affair that the Clintons, Bill Clinton, was tagged with, which kind of sucked up, I don't know, 2000 to 2005. I remember parents talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, what is sex? Is this sex? Is that sex? And having to have those discussions. Mm-hmm. But going forward with these kids that are stressed out and the kids that you see in your own practice, mm-hmm. are they politically aware of what's happening or do they try to avoid it?
Some are. You know, it depends, again, where they are, you know, maturity-wise. You know, there's a big difference between a 6-year-old and a 16-year-old.
Sure.
So, you know, some of the ones that are a little bit more cognizant of what is happening, you know, we'll bring it up and, you know, we can discuss it. But, again, it just depends where they are, you know, from a maturity standpoint, you know, to talk about.
Speaking of maturity, how yes. do you address the violence? I mean, kids see, I'm sure they hear about it in schools, mm-hmm. in their neighborhoods now. Mm-hmm. They see it on the news, children being shot. How do you address that with kids?
You know, I think in terms of just addressing, you know, I feel like, because I see a lot of kids who, you know, have either parents who are immigrants. I see a lot of kids who parents are in the military, in law enforcement, all of these things. Whenever they feel that there's a perceived threat, that there's anything that may happen, especially to disrupt the family unit, this is where a lot of anxiety and stress is created. So a couple of things that parents can do. Okay. I came up with a little acronym, and I love acronyms because I can only remember some of the times with acronyms.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So it's LOVED, L-O-V-E-D. So number one, L, listen. Listen to kids. Have them, if they start talking, listen, but hold your judgment back. Really refrain from giving your opinion on what it is, because, I mean, it's really, really hard, but just try to do it.
Right.
You know, O, open. Remain open. You know, let them just talk about how they are feeling just in general. V, validate. Validate their feelings. You know, don't say, the worst thing, I think one of the worst things that you can do is just to say, you don't feel like that, you shouldn't feel like that, things like that. Just validate their feelings.
Or get over it, grow
get over
up.
It, grow up, move yeah. on, you know, kind of a
thing. It's okay to feel that way.
Yeah, it's okay. And you know what? And if parents feel that way too, just admit it. Yes, I feel that same way too. You know,
well,
I agree.
I've always thought, you know, remember what it was like to be 12.
Yes,
try
exactly.
to go back in your mind how you felt at 12, because right. it may not be a big deal to you at 35 or 45 or 55, but it's right. a big deal when you're 12.
Exactly. So just say, hey, I get it. I understand. I hear you. Things like that. But again, hold judgment.
What's the E?
And the E, encourage, instill confidence, encourage, you know, hopefulness, things of that sort. D, discuss and demonstrate ways that actually kids can figure out ways that they can control things. Because when, you know, things are uncertain, kids feel out of control. So it's little things, who they hang out with, what they choose to eat, what do they dress, you know, things of that sort. Just little things, how kind they are to others, being compassionate, little things that they really, sometimes it's very difficult or we get lost in just the little things that we actually do really have control over.
Do you believe in distractions? In other words, getting kids involved in other things?
I believe so. I mean, I do think, you know, maybe not distraction, but helping them to refocus yeah. on other areas,
right.
you know, so that.
I think we're talking about the same thing, but I like your word better.
I like the word
yeah.
reframe, perhaps, more or less. But I think just to help them shift the focus onto something else, because their world just in general at that age, and again, depending on their age, it's very, very small. So helping them to open up, you know, their perspective on things, you know, could be helpful.
Texter writes, I'm a second grade teacher. It's the first time in my career that when I mention President Trump in this case, I get boos and grumbles from the students. Obviously, that stems from home.
Do you need to be
careful about what you're saying in front of your kids about politics?
Yes.
Because that can actually amp it up in a number of different ways, right?
Completely. Kids feed off of the reaction specifically of the parents or primary caregivers. So you have to be very careful. Again, they may not necessarily understand, you know, the real issues that are going on, but they feed off the emotions, the sense of the reactivity that a lot of us have. And they may just not know yet.
Right.
So just teach them to be non-judgmental at this point. Again, they're going to face a lifetime of these issues, whether it's something now, it's going to be something else next week.
Which, you and I have talked about this, too. It's like the last thing you want to do, too, for the future of the free world is to turn kids off to the process. Because if these kids are 12 and 13 and 14 are going, I don't ever want to be a politician. They're the worst people in the world. And that's the kind of thing we're setting up.
We really are. And it's created such a divide. And I think it's important that, again, just remind them that, because I do believe people are fundamentally good. They are good people.
You're right.
And, you know, don't forget that. What we see is probably some of the extremes out here. But that doesn't necessarily 100% represent, you know, what the entire world is going through at this point.
I always tell my kids, I love you and I'll always be here for you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
A hug goes a long way.
Yes. Instill in them that sense of, you know, like again, calm, safety, comfort, you know, whatever you can. And just a lot of reassurance. And again, we focus a lot on externalizing factors, but we have to focus on, okay, that, you know what, no matter what is going on in the outside world, you are going to be able to handle it.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a news junkie. And if my kids were little, I would hope I would have done this. But I think if, you know, you find yourself with kids who are younger.
Right.
And you've got CNN or MSNBC or Fox and you're in constant watching mode.
Right.
And you're locked in. Your kids don't need to be exposed to that. I really think you need to at this point.
Yes.
Be informed, but treat the news like you would treat something on HBO or Showtime you're not sure your kids should see.
Exactly. Filter, monitor, you know, things. If you want to go watch, you know, go to your bedroom, turn on whatever, you know, new show you want to do, but be just conscientious what your kids are watching.
Somebody loves your loved acronym and says, can I use it on my husband?
Yeah. Use it in any area you can. I think it's a pretty simple way.
And somebody else texts my grandkids, 18 to 9 years old, are informed and have opinions. They'll argue their position with anyone who will listen. That's great because it's a balance, right? You got to encourage kids to have opinions and talk about what they believe in.
Yep.
But also try to keep the anxiety down. I know we're way late here, but last question. Yep. I think it's important.
Sure.
How do you know you have an anxious kid? And if so, how do you know you have a kid that maybe needs the extra step and needs to see a doctor?
Sure. So, again, Anxiety is normal. It's a normal emotion that we all have. However, when it starts to become uncontrollable and starts to impair other areas of your life, so if sometime, or if your school isn't going so well, if it's impairing your social interactions, if you are more isolative, things of that sort, your appetite, you know, sleep, things, it starts to really spill over into other areas of your life and it really becomes impairing, that is a time that I would say to go and seek help with a mental health professional.
Yes, and the best way to find that mental health professional is, I know at Advocate, you've got great referral services.
We have great referral services. You can just Google us on Advocate Children's Hospital and find a referral source there. You can also start with your school. There's a social workers there. There's psychologists typically there. Talk to your pediatrician, primary care physician.
And I would also encourage people, because I'm a big believer in therapy, and I know this from an adult perspective, but if you take your child to a therapist mm-hmm. and it's not a match, mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they shouldn't get some therapy.
Correct.
And, you know, you got to be their best advocate, right?
Yes, yes. And if you find it's not a good match or not a good fit, there are thousands, there are many, many more mental health professionals out there that I'm sure will be. You know, it just right. takes some time. It takes time, and that is common, too.
Yeah. It's not an easy process, but I think it's a really important one. And yeah. I think it should be, by law, we all should go.
I agree. So, I'd support that law.
Dr. Joanna Lindell, Advocate Children's Hospital, thanks for the work you do.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Let's take a break. Big story coming up. And then we're going to talk kids and money before the hour is over. Teaching kids how to handle money so they can eventually embezzle yours while you sleep. Stand by at 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the
7:46, we continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, the greatest studio in the world right here on Michigan Avenue. We're talking about trying to help your kids deal with stress. How about trying to help your kids learn about money? Maybe they can teach you at some point. Author of the New York Times bestseller, Get a Financial Life, will you? Get a Financial Life. Make Your Kid a Money Genius is the new book, even if you're not. Beth, is it Kobliner?
It's Kobliner, like cosigner.
I am such a loser.
No, you're not.
Kobliner. I love the cover of the book specifically because it looks like little kids drew on it to try to make sure that they started to understand money.
Right. And it's that height chart, you know, when everybody has in yep. their house, your yep. kids grow from age 3 to 13 to 23. That's who this book is for, the whole age range.
Now, see, I grew up in a decade we called the 70s when dinosaurs roamed the earth. And
I was there.
You didn't have to worry about the things that kids have to worry about today, but also everything wasn't digital. You had to do some ciphering out by the cement pond. You had to actually do some addition and subtraction and things of that nature.
Yep.
So what do you start with kids when you come from something that isn't the standard anymore?
Right. Well, first of all, we know that by age 3, research shows kids understand basic money concepts. And by age 7, a Cambridge University study showed that kids are pretty much set in their behaviors when it comes to finance. So you really have to start talking about this pretty early, and you have to explain to a kid, you know, that plastic I swipe, or when I take my phone and I wave it magically at the cashier, that's actually paying for something.
Right.
Kids don't get that. I think using cash, giving kids cash, is a very important thing.
Like, because you have it and then you don't have it.
Exactly. And you right. know, but there's a, you know, research on the pain of paying. When we use cash, it's harder to separate from our cash than a plastic card. It almost feels like play money for grown-ups and kids.
Well, you know, we just were at Disney this weekend with the family and with the world's perfect granddaughter, my first grandchild, Abigail Grace.
I've heard about her.
Yeah, she's something else. But Disney is doing a thing, and I don't know how long they've been doing it, but they're these Disney bands. They're smart bands you wear on your wrist. And it gets you into everything from your hotel room to pay for everything in the parks.
It's magic. It's literally magic at Disneyland. Yeah. I mean,
because that way you don't think about how much money you're spending.
You don't think about it and you're ka-ching, 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 but yeah. you don't hear the ka-ching anymore.
Right.
I think it's really confusing, particularly for young children who, you know, in the olden days, you get a play cash register, has a bunch of cash. Now it comes with a bunch of credit cards. So I, you know, for my daughter, when she was 14, she went shopping to a mall for the first time in New York City. I let her go. And she said, everybody's bringing their credit card, Mom. Can I bring your credit card? I'm like, no, I'm giving you cash. Because I know if I give you $50 and it costs $53, you're going to have to return something. You have to exchange something or put something back.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real money. And
And I think that's one of the main lessons. Kids don't get it.
That's why I'm developing a new line of toys called My First Bankruptcy. So kids can actually get it, and they actually go bankrupt, and they have to learn how to reestablish their credit. I want to get Andrea in on this, too, because we're going to pretend that we're talking about kids, but we're actually talking about us. It's Make Your Kid a Money Genius, even if you're not. Beth Koblenner is here. Get two copies of this book. You're careless. You'll lose the first one. Let's get traffic in here with Mary. The guest is Beth Koblenner, Make Your Kid a Money Genius. Beth's going to be speaking tonight at Family Action Network at New Trier High School on the Northfield campus on Happy Road. Yeah, Happy Road. There you go.
Good.
In Northfield, and that's tonight at 7 o'clock. That's open to everybody?
Open to everybody.
Okay, there you go.
Beth, what are your thoughts on giving your child an allowance and rewarding them for A's or things that they accomplish in school?
Okay, well, for allowance, that's one of those ones parents are like, I started in January and then February came and I forgot to give them and the kids didn't ask. And the bottom line is I looked at 24 research studies on allowance. And you don't have to give allowance. It's not the holy grail of money. What you do have to do, however you give a kid money, you want to be consistent and clear about what they're using the money for. So if you say, I'm going to pay for all of your, you know, clothes for school, but if you want those designer sneakers, that's on you. You have to stick with it. Because you sometimes will change your mind and say, oh, I feel bad. So that's really important. And also, the research shows you should not tie chores to allowance. That when you give a child chores, it's part of being part of a family. They're a team player. It gives them responsibility. And there was a University of Minnesota study that showed when you give a kid chores and you don't pay them, they develop a work ethic that they're more likely. It's one predictor of them going on for getting a career or even graduating.
How about, I don't want to make this a psychology book, but what about bribing your kid?
Oh, bribing. Great question. Harvard, a researcher, this great guy, Roland Fryer, did a huge study on this and found that bribing kids for grades does not work. He looked at thousands of kids and 50% of parents, by the way, do bribe their kids.
So what do they get, like the one-time A to get whatever they want, and then they just go back to their old study habits?
They don't even get the one-time A on average. They don't even do better. Like, he did a control group, a bunch of kids you bribe, a bunch that didn't, and they found they matched to a match set. He's a really good researcher, and it doesn't, on average, help. I think that parents feel that you're giving your kid this extrinsic value, like money, but really what matters is having the will within. And, you know, at various ages, kids don't want to do their homework and don't want to get that A. But giving them money to do it doesn't work.
Is it okay to let your kid move back in after college?
Absolutely.
Well, they can't live in the street.
Right.
Or they shouldn't anyway.
Maybe. Should there be a time limit?
Well, the thing is, you know, kids are graduating with so much, and on average, you know, $30,000 in student debt. So having a kid move back is now a reality, I think. As long as you get the ground rules right, as long as you're not tapping into your 401k money or any savings you have to, you know, help him, you could give him food and maybe some clothes, but he has to really, or she really has to start figuring out within 6 months how they're going to get a job, even if it's not their perfect job that they had in their mind. Get a job, start making some income, and you're smiling.
I had to pay rent.
Well, yes.
I did. Not, it wasn't exorbitant, but I mean, I lived at home, I think, 2 or 3 years out of college. It was radio, right?
Right.
So first job was not paying so well. But by going into the third year, I started paying, it was like $50 or $75 a month.
Right.
You know, because you're eating the food, you're
absolutely
living there.
Well, it's teaching responsibility.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, my dad, what we did is I had $10,000 in debt in 1986, which seemed like so much debt.
Yeah, by just basic math, that's now $1
billion. Exactly. Yes. And so my dad, what he did was, I mean, he wasn't wealthy, but he paid off the debt because it had a high interest rate. And then I paid him, he was maybe 10%. I paid him back maybe 3%.
Sure.
So I paid it back over that year. And then I was able to also save up a little money and move out, you know, have to rent an apartment. I think having goals, putting things in writing with your kids, not punitively, but saying, look, this is what the deal is, and here are the expectations, and let's try to see if you can get enough for an apartment, you know, and because, you know, kids eventually they want to move out too. But setting them and helping them, the big thing is helping them with the repayment of their student loans, not paying it, but looking up the repayment options with them. The federal government has a lot of good repayment options. You can pay based on your income. You could stretch out the term of the loan. all those things can help you kind of continue to make those payments.
I'm glad you said that, because the government is not in business to carry all that debt.
Absolutely.
It's a very bad business model.
Yes.
So they would like to work with you, but what you can't do is not open the envelopes and not make any payments,
yeah,
or not pick up the phone and call and say, I can't make it.
Right.
I need your help, and have something be set up.
It's an excellent point. You have to be, you know, call up and make an arrangement. And there's so many different options right now. And I think people don't know about it, and kids graduate and they're scared and they don't want to even face it. But if you miss that payment, you miss that first payment, usually it happens 6 months after you graduate. If you miss it, that's going to be on your credit record for 7 years. So it's not like missing handing in a paper. It's missing a payment will be there for a long, long time.
And there's nothing to be embarrassed about by being in a position, because life changes where you can't pay your bills. But you're not the only one in the world going through it. You have to be decent. Look, you owe somebody money.
Right.
Be decent enough to pick up the phone and say, I can't pay you right now. What can we work out?
Right.
So I'm doing my part to the best of my ability.
Yeah. And the Department of Education website, they have all the options. Income contingent. So if you're earning a low salary, you pay based on your income. They have a graduated payment. You make less now in your career. When you're in your 30s, you'll make more, and then you could pay a little more.
That's smart.
It's terrific.
Make your kid a money genius. And again, you can meet Beth tonight and ask your questions. She won't have any money left because she's agreed for doing this interview. She's going to give us all the money in her purse.
Yeah, wait, did I sign that?
No, I don't think so. You can meet her tonight at the Family Action Network New Trier's Northfield campus. That is at 7 o'clock tonight. But get this book. And the other thing is, I just want to point this out to people. One of the things I really like about the way you laid this out are the different age ranges for kids. So you've got a preschooler, mm-hmm, or an elementary school kid. You go right to the elementary school section in,
right,
each part of the book. You put the book away. Now the kid's in middle school. You go back. You can use this as your money Bible until you throw them out of the house.
Yeah, high school, college, and then even young adults. So how do you handle, you know, when your kid's in college, how do you give them a budget? Or how do you help a high schooler start preparing for college and not co-sign a credit card with your kid? That's one of the biggest mistakes I've been seeing.
You know how good Beth is. Warren Buffett borrows money from her.
He does.
Yeah, that's how good she is.
He texted her just now.
Make your kid a money genius, even if you're not. Again, it's Beth Kobliner. I had to keep kind of running co-signer through my head. author of the New York Times bestseller, Get a Financial Life. Get the whole set. And nice job by you. You're always
Thank
welcome
you.
Here.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll come back, talk to Dean after the news next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood, you know I love you more than one night should. Yeah, Hollywood, well, kiss me, kiss me.
8:14 now, and Dean Richards is live at Channel 9. And, Dean, we have some good news.
What is that, Steve?
The listeners have responded, as they always do when we ask, for our friend, young Owen Mahan.
Oh, nice.
Owen, who suffered severe burns over 90% of his body, is dealing with constant surgeries and all of the nightmare scenarios that go with that. And he just tries to be happy, loves baseball. Just tries to be a happy kid. He's got more surgeries coming. He's going to have to deal with that for the rest of his life. The other day, they were in the process of discussing the surgery to amputate each of his legs.
Mm.
So the kid's gone through it and continues to go through it, but has an amazing attitude. And he loves to open mail. So we want to get as many letters, notes, cards, whatever, to Owen Mahan. The address remains. We'll repost it, if that's easier for you. We'll repost it on Twitter and Facebook. Twitter at Cochran Show. Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. And WGNradio.com for Owen Mahan, 302 Brixton, Brixton, Woods, with an S, E, the letter E, Drive, in Pittsboro, Indiana. Let's go live to Dave Ennett in Pittsboro now. Dave, how's Pittsboro this morning?
Pittsboro, it's actually a very nice morning here, a little bit sunny.
Oh, clubs going. The clubs are still jamming
the
music
in
Pittsboro.
I'm a little surprised because... that's kind of how it was in Mesa.
Pittsboro, Pittsboro, Indiana, 46167. And like his Facebook page, too. And you can also donate to his GoFundMe page, which is over 10 grand since we talked to him.
Hang on. I'm still writing the address down. Steve Cochran.
At Cochran Show on Twitter. Steve Cochran Show.
Right.
C-O-C-H.
I know why you're distracted, because like me, you've got video monitors up all over. Kate Upton is on the Today Show this morning promoting her Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And I swear to you, she's naked, you know, or nearly naked in Sports Illustrated. She's wearing like an Amish outfit on the Today Show. It's like to promote the nakedness.
Not familiar with that. What is this Today Show of which you speak?
Yeah. Well, it's on one of your monitors, I'm sure.
I don't want to brag, but we had a complete audio breakdown on the WGN TV morning news today.
Not quite sure how this is a brag.
sent Robin Baumgarten under the desk to try to repair and fix.
They do that at Today too, don't they? And GMA.
Oh, I can't even tell you the number of times Matt Lauer had to crawl under the table to fix the audio.
So does Robin have a tool belt?
You can have your naked Kate Upton if you want to. We have a Robin Baumgarten under the desk.
No, the point of the story, Captain Competitive, the point of the story was that why do you wear an Amish outfit to promote a swimsuit issue? I don't get that.
That's true.
All right, I'm over it.
Did it have your imagination working overtime?
No, I'm afraid that she, like the rest of the world, is too young for me.
Make you want to buy some unfinished furniture?
Yes, and put up my hex sign.
I'd love some apple butter right now.
It's the last response you'd expect from the new SI swimsuit issue. All right, here's the headlines. Harrison Ford had an airplane boo-boo, and a bad one. He's fine, but he may be in trouble. Carlos Santana in the news. Chance the Rapper in the news.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's in the news. Hello. Wait till you hear this story. And another celebrity jewel heist. We certainly hope for Dean and my act that it's from French people.
Any kind of funny accents. We don't really care what the nationality is of the robbers. But if they have, they can be from Boston, they can be from Brooklyn. We'll take on any accents of any robbers that rob a celebrity.
And if we have time, Ice Cube. So we'll get all of those coming back as well.
Okay.
Dan, John and I have another show coming up. Where and when?
We're doing it April 8th at the Metropolis Theater, downtown Arlington Heights.
Oh, that's a nice theater.
It's a beautiful little theater, and tickets are actually kind of going really quick. So this
kinda
is kind of
almost
cool.
Gone, so get them.
Yeah, this is pretty good.
Discount for any Amish people showing up?
Yes, if Kate Upton shows up in an Amish outfit, she gets in for free.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You can bring apple butter as in lieu of tickets. here we go. The box office is 847-577-2121 or go to metropolisarts.com.
I can't wait till someone shows up at the box office.
I know.
A gallon of apple butter. Forsooth, he said, don't ask me why I was listening to an electronic device, the radio, and heard that.
Dost thus put peanut butter with that apple butter? Dost thus? Is that how they talk?
If thou won't accept my apple butter, will thou accept my burlap bag of cow renderings? I don't even know what that is.
I was in a band called Cow Renderings.
I knew you were.
It's 8:19. We'll come back with those headline stories in just a moment. By the way, John did another Undercover John. That's coming up in about 20 minutes.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh.
Man, we got some cranky texters this morning. People did not get a lot of sleep last night. Might I suggest My Pillow or Mattress for Mattress?
Nice tie-in.
CLTV hour at 9 o'clock this morning. So what did Harrison Ford do?
If he ever offers you a ride on his plane, I'm going to say you might want to take a pass.
Is it time to take away the keys?
I think it might be time to take away his keys. Now, you remember, it was a couple of years ago now, 2015, where he crashed his small plane on the golf course.
Right.
Fortunately, nobody hurt. In the year 2000, he crashed a 6-passenger plane in Lincoln, Nebraska. And a year before that, crashed a helicopter just outside of Los Angeles. So yesterday, he's flying a plane, a single-engine plane, and lands it in the wrong place at John Wayne Airport in Orange County, California. He lands it on a taxiway instead of a runway that was assigned by air traffic control. On this taxiway was another plane containing 100 passengers that was near miss flying over while he accidentally landed in the wrong place.
Look, I'm not a pilot, so I don't know what I'm talking about here, but don't they generally tell you where to put the plane when you come back?
Yeah, an FAA spokesman said that he was assigned to a particular runway,
And it wasn't that one.
And he landed not on the runway, but on the taxiway, you know, where they get
set
to go to go to the runway. So, you know, I don't know if it was an emergency, don't know if he was confused, don't know. What we do know is that this it seems to happen quite a bit with him.
Do we know if he even has a pilot license? It seems like he's crashed.
He's supposed to be an expert on all this. He didn't crash yesterday, just landed in the wrong place. But, you know, these other people in the other plane sure had a little bit of a scare when they saw this plane hover right above them.
You're looking out the window.
Right.
And suddenly a private plane flies directly over yours.
So you're taking like a, you know, a selfie out the window and, wait a minute, there's Indiana Jones.
Hey, isn't that Harrison Ford about to crash into our plane?
Han Solo just flew by.
It was my understanding that his controls were covered with cow renderings.
Oh, they were?
Yeah.
Well, that'll difficult make it tough to fly.
I'm going to try to work that phrase in as much as possible today. It's the phrase that pays today.
You know, Dean, you're famous for trying to tie the generations together. That's one of the things the kids love about
you. That's very true.
And you have a Carlos Santana Beyonce story.
Well, yesterday, Carlos Santana, actually, mm-hmm. I think this was Sunday night, when he first posted a statement about Adele's winning all the awards, the top three awards at the Grammys, and Beyonce
hello
getting
from the other side.
Shout out. What Carlos Santana said was,
yes,
in an interview, he thinks Adele won because she can sing. She doesn't bring props. She just stands there and she sings. And then added that while Beyonce is very beautiful to look at, her music is more like modeling music. She's not a singer. He says. So he put this gets posted. One or two people objected to.
I'll bet they did.
A couple of Beyonce's 67 million people following her on Twitter didn't care for that comment. So late last night, he posted a clarifying statement saying that my intent was to congratulate Adele on her amazing night at the Grammys.
And love from the other side.
Can see what he means about Sing Sing. My comment about Beyonce was regretfully taken out of context, even though it was not at all. I have the utmost respect for her as an artist and person. She deserves all the accolades that come her way. I wish Beyonce and her family all the best.
Well, which part of she's not a good singer was taken out of context?
No, that's what he said. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
He said she's not a singer. Quote.
Did anyone point out that Carlos, his entire career, has played a guitar?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's not known for singing.
He's not, but I mean, he's an amazing musician.
He's incredible.
And a lot of people are saying that Adele is a pure singer without all the theatrics.
You're trying to get me to sing again, aren't you?
I don't know why he had a, you know, go that with Beyonce. Some people are saying what he's saying is accurate and he shouldn't back down at all.
That's how I feel. Any statement you make on Twitter, never, ever back down.
Right. And some people are saying also they think that it was appropriate that Carlos Santana was talking to Russian operatives during the campaign.
That's probably who he meant for it to go to.
Maybe. It's possible.
Yeah, possible. Chance the Rapper. Isn't Chance the Rapper's brother? I got nothing. Chance, just the name.
Jim the Butcher?
Me. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for filling in the blank
Jim the
for
Butcher?
Me. Chance the Rapper is doing a tour, but not Chicago. Well,
I would love for you to go to one of his shows sometime.
I've been to one of his shows.
He is so entertaining.
Actually, I've been to three of his shows.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
So far, plan on going to one this year. After his three wins on Sunday night, he announces a list of cities and dates for his spring concert tour. New York, L.A., Detroit, Miami.
Why wouldn't he play Chicago?
33 other cities, Chicago not included on that list.
Will the Kit Kat candy bars be available in Chicago as well? Or
pick me up a piece of that Kit Kat bar and some cow renderings.
Is there a reason that he's not playing Chicago?
I've been trying to get an answer on this since I learned about this yesterday.
Well, you're Dean friggin' Richards.
No,
why aren't they calling you back?
Yeah, that doesn't seem to carry any weight at all. No response. Here is my speculation on this. I'm guessing he's probably going to play Lollapalooza. In his concert schedule, the dates of Lollapalooza are ironically not taken Lollapalooza is famously secretive about their schedule. So my guess is that his Chicago dates will be at least one night at Lollapalooza, maybe more. But it just doesn't just say, I haven't forgotten about you, Chicago, details to come or something. Because right now it looks like they're taking care of all the other cities, including small cities, Omaha, Tulsa, you know, places like, really, you're going to some of those places, but not Chicago, is what it looks like. My guess is that it'll be Lollapalooza or maybe Pitchfork or one of the other Chicago festivals.
You know, Chance comes from a big family, and see if you can see this joke coming down the road. And his oldest brother, Ned the Yodeler, is actually coming in to play Soldier Field.
That would be nice. That would be a good opening act for you guys at the Metropolis Performing Arts Center.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Scarlett Johansson's in the news, and I just see this whole story as a way to try to get my attention.
She has said in a Playboy magazine interview, so you know it's kind of sexy, that she does not think that people are designed to be in monogamous relationships. Says it's not natural.
I'm still not calling her back.
She says, I might be skewered to think that way, but being in a monogamous relationship is a lot of work.
Wow.
She says.
Whatever happened to the marriage with Ryan Reynolds, do you think?
Well, that ended in 2011.
Based on this quote.
And her marriage to her second husband ended last month. By the way, I don't know if it's...
Based on this quote.
Don't know if it's related to her feelings about monogamy or not, but I can see if you're married to somebody and they say they don't think monogamous relationships are...
Based on this quote.
So, quote, great that... Yeah, it's not a winning formula. You know, you don't go to Walgreens and find a Valentine's Day card that says, I don't think people are designed to be in monogamous relationships. Happy Valentine's Day.
Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm about to sleep around on you. Yeah, get that card.
That's nice.
What's the celebrity jewel theft of the day?
Alanis Morissette.
Oh, no. What's been taken?
Has been pilfered. Somebody broke into her house, stole her jewelry.
Oh.
Have we not learned anything from the Kim Kardashian brouhaha?
Maybe it's Kim Kardashian trying to make up some of the losses.
Well, maybe. $2 million in jewelry was stolen from Alanis Morissette's mansion in Brentwood.
Yeah, listen, there's only one solution to this. Buy less jewelry. Just, you know, you got millions of dollars in jewels sitting around. Maybe you've got too much.
Do these people just have it sitting in
their...
No,
that's not the solution.
Is it in their cupboard? Like, don't they have safes and secret vaults?
Right.
Or, I mean, you can go buy, you know, you can go buy something at like a security store that looks like a jar of mayonnaise, and you put your jewelry inside. It's not, you know, it's just like a fake thing. Put your jewelry in that. And then
that's right. That's right. Keep my Timex.
The burglars will not find it. Sadly, the saddest part of this whole story is we do not know the ethnicity of these burglars for Steve and I.
Well, hold on a second, though. Alanis Morissette is Canadian.
Oh,
they could be French-Canadian.
And isn't it ironic?
Where, oh, where is her home? Where is her home so we could ride a bicycle?
Pierre, put down that bacon so we may go back to the home of Alanis Morissette.
Knock, knock, knock. Are you home, Alanis Morissette? Knock, knock, knock. She doesn't appear to be home. Let's break in. By the way, what is this accent I'm currently stuck in? It's something between...
It's a hybrid. It's a hybrid accent. That's a little hybrid. He's trying to do the French-Canadian. It's not quite full-tilt French.
All right.
Would you care to watch a hockey game or go... steal something from Alanis Morissette.
We believe, until further notice, French-Canadian bicycle thieves have struck again. And this is why it took so long, because they had to ride their bikes from Paris. They finally got to Canada, and they stole Alanis Morissette.
She was in Brentwood. She was
yeah, Brentwood, Canada.
Brentwood, Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, Google map it. You'll find it.
Famous place.
Yeah. All right, I'll see you. Bye. 8:34. Big story next. 720 WGN.
So, even saying it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
Now, who wrote the book? Do you know?
Dr. John Gray.
And is Dr. Gray still with us?
Yes. Yeah, he is. I believe he lives in, I want to say, California. I don't know exactly where.
Divorced five times. I don't know if people know that or not.
Yeah.
And did you get a chance to talk to anybody that knows Dr. Gray? Is that part of the research?
Absolutely. You know, the director, the producers, they've all met him. You know, other actors who've worked with the show have met him. And I unfortunately have not been given the chance to meet him personally just yet. But Here's a great guy.
I was wondering what the inspiration was for the book, and it probably is what you would expect it to be, just a lifetime of face-palming yourself.
Yeah, just the,
I don't know what you're talking about!
Yeah, just the being in a stalemate of, like, what to do, and then finally just jotting it down and then seeing that it's a little bit easier than we make it out to be.
Separate planets.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do we do that annoys you most?
Oh, just, God, I don't want to I don't want to use the word annoy.
I know we don't have enough time.
Spoiler alert, that's the show.
I don't want to say annoy, you know, I don't want to do anything like that, but I guess, you know, women, I think one thing is they do, they like to multitask. A lot, you know, they'll be all over the place doing 70 million different things at once, and man will just kind of sit there and just watch football, and that's enough for him. So sometimes, you know, when a woman's like, you know, doing this, that, the other thing, you know, the man can kind of get, I don't want to use the word annoyed, but perturbed maybe is the word.
I've said it a million times, we're very simple. Mm-hmm. So stop overthinking who we are.
Yeah,
we say what we want.
Mm-hmm.
We say what we need.
Exactly.
And we're afraid of you. These are the three essential messages.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would I agree with
you. Right,
there.
Those are all there.
Yeah.
Now, this is a lot of work, one man.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, it's a lot of work. I play, and I play all the characters pretty
right.
much. You know, I play myself, my wife. From both perspectives, I'm very fair. I want to put that out there. I'm very, very
Now, your wife
very
doesn't
fair.
Have that kind of facial hair, though, does
no,
she?
No. She doesn't have the beard like this. You know, she trimmed it last week. But,
yeah.
But it's great. And I play various characters we meet throughout the show. And I'm very animated and goofy on stage, you know, to really bring it to life. It's like a stand-up comedy style acting hybrid theater piece.
Right.
You know.
Again with a stand-up comedy-style acting hybrid theater piece. Tickets available where? Broadway in Chicago?
BroadwayInChicago.com, yep.
Yeah,
and we're here for 24 shows, 3 weeks, you know.
Yeah, and again, it's just it's a great theater. Dave, do you have any questions about women that could be answered?
Isn't the show over at 10 o'clock here?
But you've been happily married for almost 30 years.
31.
Wow.
See? Almost 30.
You got to bring the wife to the show. I mean, you guys will get a kick. I mean, everybody will get a kick out of the show. Absolutely.
And the cool thing about it is it's all age ranges. It's new relationships.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a wide spectrum. You know, and we cover a lot of bases, you know, and the show has evolved from the book a lot. We modern day stuff, and a lot of improv happens with the audience. Too, you know, different audience members have different reactions, and you know, I really riff off a lot of those reactions throughout the show as
well. Yeah, you don't notice the entire second act's only on Twitter.
Right. All right, so when I say we collectively as women, when we ask you as men a question, are you honest with us?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, I think for the most part, yeah. I think we try to be.
Like, how do I look in this outfit kind of thing?
You know, I think sometimes we just got to ride. We got to surf those waves around, you know, what exactly we think you need to hear in certain moments and what exactly, you know, is appropriate to say. So
women want selective honesty.
Yeah, selective.
Women don't want total honesty. Women they want total honesty.
You should be doing this show. You know it all.
No, listen, I'm an elder. Yeah, as an elder, we have the knowledge. You know, you want to hear what you want to hear when you want to hear it. But there's no more dangerous question to answer than how do I look in this? The only answer is you look unbelievable.
Absolutely. And you can't stutter with it. You got to come in right away. Amazing. Yeah. Let's go.
Right. And if you really feel like maybe that's not the best outfit for her, you go out, you do what we all do. You slash the tires in your car and go, I don't know what happened. Right. We can't go.
I wouldn't answer the question with a question like, you mean right now? In that outfit?
Yeah,
you know,
you can't do that. No. Yeah, absolutely not.
How about this? You like it when a woman says, you're not wearing that, are you?
Yeah, it's immediately right away. You're not going to, that's what your hair is going to look like tonight? Yeah. It's like, no.
Well, I don't have that issue, but you're not wearing that. I always say, no, it's my practice outfit.
It's my practice outfit.
Yeah, I keep the regular clothes in the closet by the door so I could change. And who wrote the show?
It was originally the writer was Eric Koble, and then as
that's a collaboration.
Yeah, and as new actors come on, you know, we keep kind of the same main points, viewpoints, and the same kind of stories, but we have to infuse our own personal experiences onto that.
Yeah, as a guy who comes from stand up you've done a ton of improv too.
Oh, right? A ton of improv. Yeah, New York City. I'm on Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, one of the greats.
Team,
yeah,
so
one
I
of
do.
The best.
I do. You know, I do all kinds of you know, sketch comedy.
So there is room for you to ad lib as needed, or absolutely.
I mean, last night was my 100th show, and from the first show to the 50th show to the 80th show to 100th show, you know, continually evolve certain moments of the show. Certain, you know, there were two things last night that happened that, you know, we're off the cuff that I've never done before that really worked that I'm probably going to continue to use moving forward. You know, it's just how the show is.
You know, it's funny. In New York, you get this. In Chicago, New York and Chicago are the two best theater cities in the country. But you still get as loose as a show can be when you've got someone who's skilled at comedy as you are. You can get the crowd. It gets a little too energetic. You got people throwing stuff out.
He does that. Oh, he does that all the time.
No. That's what's fun about the show. Those are kind of the fun. I mean, I don't encourage people to throw it out there, but when it happens naturally, organically in a moment, you know, I usually do stop, kind of take it in. It usually gives the room a big laugh, and I kind of take on that character's persona of where they might be coming from. Last night, somebody actually threw out there, I was talking about multitasking, and I was talking about men. One woman was just like, yeah, they suck.
Well, you know, I would imagine Valentine's Day, you probably had a lot of girlfriends come out and different things. It was probably like a powder keg crowd.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a great crowd. I mean, they were ready to, like, unload, unwind. You know what I mean? They were really excited to be there last night.
So where's your wife? New York?
Yeah.
And is she in the business?
Sort of. I don't want to give too much of her away, but
why?
Yeah.
Is the law looking for her? You realize you're married to a woman in the witness protection program?
Not in the Trump White House at all.
No. They were trying to keep her away.
AmadeoFusca.com, AmadeoFusca.com, Broadway in Chicago for tickets everywhere. Last question from Andrea.
Oh boy. Look at that. I just am wondering, do you get a lot of people in the audience where I'm assuming the women will be like, yeah, and the guys are like, yeah, but kind of saying it under their breath.
Yeah, because we're afraid.
You see the the sexual divide in the audience. Yeah.
Well, no, I will say my show, you know, has evolved, and the men are laughing just as hard as the women, you know, throughout it, you know. And that's the great thing about the show. It gives us permission to laugh at both sides of the spectrum. You know, we really – there's no like, oh, like I feel like he's picking on one over the other. Like
sure.
Every story has both sides of the argument where we're equally making fun of each other's nuances.
So men can laugh at men and women can laugh at men.
Oh,
so you get both sides.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Texter says – I once asked my husband if I looked fatter in one outfit over the other, and he said, fatter than what?
Oh, God. Okay. He needs to come to the show.
They're still married. They're still married. Well, I look forward to this. I'm going to come see you.
Oh, you guys got to come see it. Yeah, you guys will love it.
And again, it's a great room. Broadway in Chicago. Great gift, by the way, if you got family events coming up, birthdays, various other things. But take your family out to this. It'd be fun to take your grandparents to this and just watch them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Or not.
And there's always a segment where I'll pick on the, you know, the veteran married couples in the audience.
Oh, sure.
And I'll ask who's been married over 30, 40 years, and then I'll kind of sometimes pick one and kind of use them as an example for the next segment.
Okay, thanks for the warning.
Right.
Or flip it
on the millennials. We were talking this morning. I asked, you know, the producers, I said, do you guys still buy cards, you know, Valentine's Day cards? And I won't out them and say what the answers were, but... I think the younger generation is more like, we don't need to buy a gift, do we?
Yeah, no.
We're in a relationship.
Not unless mom or dad give us the money to buy it.
Yeah.
It's like an e-card now. It's like an email card now.
Doesn't bode well for the card future, I suppose.
No.
Again, it's a one-man show, and he's working his butt off, so you don't have to. Men are from bars.
Men are from bars.
What kind of? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, live. And again, 175 East Chestnut, the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. Good to meet you, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
BroadwayInChicago.com. We're still looking for someone to tell us of CLTV. You're watching CLTV now or stumble to a television to answer the question, what's Dave wearing? Dave, you could stand up, maybe spin around. Dave was upset that I didn't give advanced warning because he would have worn something super flashy. A couple of texters are wrong. Somebody want to know if you're wearing the Little Red Riding
Hood. Oh, that's so sweet.
See, that's a guess. And then I like this text. He's wearing lederhosen and skipping around the studio singing, I've been a naughty little Alpine boy.
How did they know?
I don't know what that means. It's 9:24. Back after this at 720 WGN. Oh, first caller at 312-981-7200 to tell us about Dave's elaborate outfit on CLTV right now.
Three, two, one.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
Yeah, 9:41. NHL stud Brian Campbell. Of course, he's a much bigger name in television and video with his Soup and a Sandwich series. Joins us now on MB Financial Bank's Breakfast with a Blackhawk. MB means business. And we should have a listener question, right? We're going to do that as well before we're done? Okay. Soup, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Steve. How are you?
Nice talking to you. Thanks for coming on. This is an off week. You know, you could have been still half in the bag.
I could have been, but... I'm not. Not when you have a 3- and 1-year-old at home
right.
Getting up at 6:30. So,
well, I appreciate you coming on.
No,
And
yeah, it's good.
And do you take the full week off, or are you still working out every day, or how do you play it?
Yeah, no, I'm still. I got to keep this body oiled, so I'm working out and trying to get stay in shape here. And cause we only have one practice on Friday before we play Saturday, so 5 days is a long time. So just trying to, you know, do a little bit each day and stay ready to go once we get back.
You know, I find that it comes in 5-year increments. Like at 55, there are things I didn't feel badly about at 50 that are now sore on me. You know, and 45 was better than 50, and 40 is better than 45. Are you noticing things that you went, man, when I was 30, I didn't feel this way?
Well, yeah, I think anybody does. You know, it doesn't matter. But
yeah, but I mean, at your level with what you have to do physically,
yeah,
it's more demanding on you.
True. But yeah, no, I definitely feel things that I've, you know, that I think for me, I have to prepare more, you know, prepare to go onto the ice more. I feel great on the ice, but I do have to prepare more. I can't take, like I used to take a lot of time off at the end of a season. Now I don't take hardly any time off. I just feel like I got to be active and keep going, because then, you know, I feel loose and everything. So, you know, those are the things, is you just get a little bit smarter as well, what you can and can't do.
Brian, good morning. One of the questions that's been out there, I guess, about this break that each team gets this year in the schedule is what should happen in terms of getting you back into the routine at the end of the schedule. I know some teams are kind of approaching this differently, but you come right back after not playing for 6 days, and you play back-to-back games, and you play 4 games in 6 nights. I've read some players have said, you know, it'd be nice to come back and maybe play one game and then get a couple days practice just to kind of get your legs back. Do you think that that's something the league down the road will take a look at?
Yeah, I think they're going to look at everything. I think they're going to look at this condensed schedule that we're dealing with, and you know, hopefully the players can kind of vote on what they feel like they want as well, because obviously in the end we're the ones playing the game. So it definitely, you know, you come back, yeah, it's like we get a break, yeah, but we play back to back right away, and as you said, 4 and 6 nights, and I think in March we never have more than a day off in between games. We play every other day, if not more. So you know, yeah, it's nice to have this time off now, but you're gonna get it comes at you pretty good later on. So it's definitely been harder, I think, on guys in the body. And I think, you know, sometimes you see some scores of games being up and lopsided a little bit because of that.
You know, you look at that last month of the season, and it's you play 17 games in 31 days.
They have 3 doubleheaders.
Pretty much. And I mean, it's a playoff schedule. I mean, you're going every other day for the last 4 weeks of the season. Is that, I know it's maybe taxing, but it also definitely gets you in the playoff groove, right? I mean, that's what you're going to be playing.
Well, the concern is, though, do you burn out, right?
Yeah, that'd be the question.
Yeah. Well, here's the two things. A, we're going to be, you know, trying to catch Minnesota on those games. So we got to have our best every night. The best thing about it for us, and I will honestly say this, and I've been around other coaches, is Joel knows when to give us days off, and he doesn't push us a whole lot. Like during that 17 games and 31 days, whatever it is, we're not going to be practicing a whole lot. So, you know, some teams practice more, and I know for him, he gives us time off so we can be at our best during games. So I think, you know, it's nice that we have a veteran coach that realizes that and wants the best out of us. I know we're going to have, like, I think we have four days off from games. That is in, I think it's in March, early March.
Yeah, second week of March.
You know, I can, you know, I don't know what the schedule is, but I imagine we're going to have at least a couple of those days off to get ready. And also where some teams would be, okay, we'll give you one day off and we'll get practicing again, and we'll be out there for an hour and a half practicing, where Joel is, you know, practice pace is quick, it's short. We get out there, we get our work done, we get off. So it's we're lucky to have that.
Are the guys complaining more about the schedule this year? Because I tried to convince Dave the schedule's never been goofier in the NHL, and then he brought facts to me. And I said, these facts do not go along with my theory, Dave.
I feel so bad about that.
Yeah. I think, you know, everybody for me, I don't love it. You know, I'd rather just keep playing. I've been used to that. That's what I've done for the past, whatever, 17 years of pro. So, I don't know. I think some guys are, you know, we talked about it on the plane the other night. We'd like to start the season earlier, but obviously NFL football is going on then, and they don't want to, you know, match up probably too much with against NFL football. So, you know, it's just because it's so busy right now, and you know, we're all talking about it. So I don't know the right answer, but I do hope they look at things and they ask the players about it.
We're gonna have Andre do the MB Financial Bank listener question here in just a second, but prior to getting back to work Saturday night against Edmonton, this team is right back on a Blackhawk style role here, playing really well. Is this a fan concern that the break kills that momentum completely, or can some of that stay even if it's a week later?
You know, I feel like with our lines now, we're rolling pretty good. I feel like we can stay with it. Guys are used to having time off, so they'll get their rest. But I expect us to be ready to go. Hopefully we don't have the letdown of being off for you know, the 5 days. So we play Edmonton. We just played them. Obviously, they're going to be out to get us, just like we were the other night for them. So we got to keep rolling here. If we want to try and catch Minnesota, we got to keep finding ways to collect points and hopefully 2 points.
All right, Brent, here's the fan question again, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. This question is from Jennifer Mueller. Jennifer wants to know, when you play the video game NHL 17, which player do you choose to play as?
Oh, this is newsmaking. This is almost as big as soup in a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Which player do you choose to be?
Yeah.
Well, I don't play video games, and I'm sorry to say that. But here's my thing. If I did play video games, I would create my own player, and his name would be Steve Cochran.
That's a good call.
No.
He'd be a big, rugged defenseman.
Good call. Good call. Breaking news.
Yeah.
Brian Campbell's avatar is big, rugged defenseman Steve Cochran.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tough, he doesn't even need skates.
Good answer.
Yeah, buddy. Soup, good of you to be on. I really appreciate it. And we love having you on the MB Financial Bank situation. A soup and a sandwich update?
I think it comes out today. There's one more episode coming. But if the fans want more, they're going to have to write into the Blackhawks and see. But we
demand
only have one more.
One more? I want more.
Is this the one where Kevin Spacey does the walk-on?
That's over our budget.
How great would that be, though, if you just had random celebrities walk by the two of them in the background?
There's so many things that we could do with this, but I don't know where it's going to go.
Well, I think it's hard to top what you've been so far, but that's part of the creative challenge. You know what I'm saying? That's part of the challenge you take on.
Yeah, I'm glad everybody's enjoying my show, so it's been good.
Yeah, and as far as we're concerned right now, the only safe contact with the Russians is soup and sandwich. Soup and sandwich, that is the only safe contact. Everything else that's in the news is bad. This is good.
Yeah, this is a good Russian. This is a good kid, so that other stuff, I'm not going to get involved in that.
Yeah, don't blame you.
Will you guys still be friendly if the Steve Cochran Show and Soup and a Sandwich are both nominated for a Chicago Emmy in the same category?
Ooh, that'd be tough.
Yeah,
that
tough. You know, at least somebody's going to win. We can celebrate.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point. I like your attitude on it. Soup and a Sandwich, you fans, you got to let the Blackhawks know you're demanding two things, a Stanley Cup and more soup and a sandwich.
And not necessarily in that order?
No, in that order.
Good.
Well, no, assuming a sandwich would have to be first. You're right.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks, guys.
There you go. Bye. Brian Campbell. Is he a TV star? Is he an NHL star? Turns out he's both. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's 9:51. We'll take you out the way we started the show. Do the top six at six. I'll tell you what you're going to be hearing about mostly in the news today before Bill and Wendy join us next on 720 WGN.
Understand that all of this information was leaked. I mean, I got to, and again, I know we've got this, me lecturing you about what story should be, but I think that there's a real story here, that we have to wonder whether or not people who work for our government, who are entrusted with classified information and decisional-based materials, are leaking that information out. That, I do believe, is a big story that should be reported. I also believe that the president is rightly so very, very concerned about this, because it's not just something that is plaguing you know, the current situation, but it goes back through the Obama administration, the Bush administration, the Clinton administration. That undermines our national security, frankly.
Leaks are, by nature and by definition, facts. If you leak something, it's factual that what you're leaking has either happened or it's a piece of evidence about something that's currently happening. So for Sean Spicer to say that's the big problem. No, the big problem is we don't have an explanation of why Donald Trump is in love with Russia. He likes Russia better than Boris and Natasha.
Mm-hmm. I'm confused, though. WikiLeaks was okay?
It was okay then, yeah, because it was to be used against Hillary, yeah.
Right, got it.
I'm glad you mentioned Hillary, or I mentioned Hillary, one of us did, because people, and texters in particular this morning have brought up, yeah, what about Hillary? Somebody brought up Reagan. Yeah, what about Reagan? Because Reagan in 1980 had an agreement with the Iranians to not release the hostages until he was inaugurated so he'd get credit for it. Let me just explain something to you. I couldn't care less about Ronald Reagan and Hillary Clinton right now. You know why? They're not the president of the United States. You can't change the past. You can only change the future. And if you want to actually use a scorecard that goes by, yeah, but other people did it, so this guy ought to be able to do it too, you're going to have trouble in this country that you've never seen before. If we scored Nixon that way, well, yeah, look, some people broke in. It's just a little break in. And he beat McGovern 49 states to one anyway. So what's the big deal? No. You have standards in a civilized society, in the enviable democracy that is the number one government in the world, that you have to follow. Donald Trump has an opportunity here to step up and say, this is why I have the contacts with Russia. This is my, well, this is my tax return. Here are the various things that people are concerned about, because I'm concerned that the first 28 days of my presidency have come off the way they have. And I want to clean this up. I understand why Americans, the people that voted for me, the people that didn't, are wondering now. So I want to clear this up. But you're not hearing that. And you're not going to hear that from him.
The election is
so
over.
All of this is on him.
Yeah. It should be country before party for everybody now.
Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, could be forced to testify to Congress if Congress goes that route. You're saying, well, both houses are controlled by the Republicans. You're not going to do that. Oh, we'll see. The Senate's already on it. Shame on Jason Chaffetz and some of the Republicans in the House who bent over backwards to go after Hillary Clinton on Benghazi and on the emails and still threatening to go after her on the email situation. And they're all going, we don't know if we should go after this, because everybody in the Senate, except for one guy that I'm aware of, is ready to go after Trump until Trump comes clean on all of this. The one guy that really was disappointing yesterday as much as anybody else was Senator Rand Paul.
You know, I think that might be excessive. I think that looks like the president has handled the situation. And unless there's some kind of other evidence of malfeasance, this sounds like something that was internal White House politics, and looks like the president's handled it.
He knows that's not true. He absolutely knows that's not true. And the continuation of the statement was, how are we going to break up Obamacare if we spend all our time investigating? So Rand Paul is now officially as bad as every other politician you're aware of. Be constant contact with Russians of all shape and sizes. That's the intelligence reports that are out this morning. And that is what you'll hear a lot about today as the day goes on. And we'll be back here tomorrow to talk about it then.